digital information processing. And this is what you're going to learn about today, new things. First of all, I'm going to show you clear evidence that newborn infants can process visual information. They can discriminate forms, they have visual recognition memory, and that learning starts very, very early, within the first few hours of life. Also, there is evidence that older infants can create perceptual categories and can make fine discriminations. And one reason for doing this is to show you how to use the visual recognition memory, visual habituation techniques to demonstrate these subtleties of infant perception. Then we're going to move on and look at evidence that habituation, when it occurs, really does involve information processing. It's not babies simply getting sleepy, getting bored. They are processing information, actively processing information. And interestingly, doing it in different ways. And finally, we're going to look at important evidence that shows there is a relationship between differences in the ability of infants to process visual information and later childhood IQ, which is a very important subject. So, first of all, evidence for visual recognition memory in newborn babies. And this is work by a British psychologist, Alan Slater, working at the University of Exeter. And what he did was to carry out a study in the local maternity ward, hospital, and the babies were 2 to 3 days old, very young, and they were habituated to simple geometric shapes. So for example, here, large black triangle, nice and clear, so there's no visual acuity problems, a large stimulus. They're habituated using infant control procedure. Okay? You remember what that is? Remember that that's under the control of the baby. The baby can take as long as he likes to achieve habituation. So you leave the stimulus, the triangle up there on the screen, for as long as the baby wants to continue looking at it. And then when the criterion is reached, you give novelty preference tests, you pair the familiarized stimulus with one that's novel, here it's a circle, and you give 2 tests where the positions of the 2 stimuli are reversed. So 10 seconds in this position, 10 seconds in this position. Why would you want to do that? Well, it turns out that particularly for young infants, newborns in fact up to about 4 or 5 months, babies often have very strong position preferences. They will look to one side of the visual field and ignore everything else on the other. So if you just happen to get a bunch of babies who have a preference for looking at the right side, you might conclude they're showing a strong novelty preference, but in fact, they're not. They're not comparing the 2 stimuli. They're just showing a position preference. So we can control that by switching the positions around and then averaging the results. Obviously, of course, our results, because of significant effect here, not the looking at the novel, less looking at the familiar, it could demonstrate genuine recognition, genuine habituation, but it could also be a preference for circles over triangles. So we need to control for that as well. So in the design, half the babies get this sequence of stimuli, and the other half, this sequence. They're familiarized with the circle, and then they get the preference test. And then we average the results. And if after all of those control conditions and averaging, we get significantly longer looking at the novel stimulus, then we've got very good evidence that these newborn babies have visual recognition memory. And these are the results. Mean age was 3 days, the habituation method was in the control procedure, and a very strong novelty preference emerged. 65% of the time we're looking at the novel stimulus and 35% of the time we're looking at the significant effect there, significantly different from chance looking, which would be 50% at each one. Infants could, newborns could recognize the familiar shape and they could look longer at the novel one. Now having said that, there is just one word of caution. We don't know exactly how much of the information we were processing. Have they retained information about the whole of the figure? Or maybe just a part of it? This is a pointy triangle, so maybe they just remembered one bit. They couldn't find this point here, even around the circle, and that's why they saw the circle as novel, triangle as familiar. You really don't know exactly how much information they're processing. You have to do more detailed studies to tease out that information. But the basic finding is important because it clearly shows, contrary to the evidence of the early studies, that infants have a functioning visual cortex from birth, and they can process information and they can retain information in memory. Now, some of the information they retain can be quite sophisticated. Some of this learning begins within the first few hours of life. What we know is that infants are very sensitive and very attractive to facial stimuli. And these days, I'll talk you through in a moment, documented by Mark Johnson and his colleagues. In fact, this was a study carried out in Aberdeen. And what they did was show the newborn baby a little face about this size. Okay? So the newborn is sitting on the experimenter's lap, and the experimenter presents the stimulus and moves it out to the side and back very slowly. Nice, easy presentation. No sophisticated equipment, very straightforward. And on the little pedal, there were three different types of stimuli. One for a regular face, so a schematic face, but it's got eyes, nose, mouth, all in the correct places. Okay? Second stimulus has exactly the same features, but they're all straddled up. So they don't look like a face, but the stimulus in low-level terms is exactly the same. Same amount of black and white, same amount of contour, same density of black compared to white. Similar stimuli, one looks like a face, the other one doesn't, and then here's another control, which is the black stimulus. Now what's interesting from this study is that infants clearly attend more to the face, the stimulus that looks like a face, that's all features in the correct position. If we measure the amount of tracking that takes place, here the black columns will be tracking with the eyes, and here the striking columns will be tracking with the head. The amount the baby follows, turns its head to follow the movement of these stimuli, you can see that the stimulus that recruits the most attention is the regular face. The eyes turn further before they break contact with it. They turn their heads further than in the other conditions. The black attracts some attention, but not very much. Babies track it so far, and then they let it go, and they look away and look for something else. So, you know, within a 3-4 days of life, infants are tracking faces much more than scrambling faces. So clearly it's something about the range of the features that they're recognizing and they're paying close attention to. And Johnson, and I'll argue that in terms of survival, it's obviously important for babies to learn about significant stimuli in their surroundings. And mum's face is one of those significant stimuli. And so following her, the movement of her face, for as long as possible, is a mechanism that seems to be there at the bird, still seeing. And there is clearly a payoff, because babies, within about 6 days, can recognize their mum's face, at least enough to discriminate her from a stranger. This is another Scottish study, interestingly. Ian Bushnell, working at the University of Glasgow, and he was working in a maternity unit, and what he did was to ask mothers who had a baby on the ward to sit behind this little window in a screen, and alongside them was another mother with the same kind of general shape, colour, features, hair length and so on. So not obviously different. And here is the researcher holding up a baby in front of the two, very close. Remember, their acuity isn't very good. They need to see within about 40 centimetres or so. And propping the baby's head up, of course, is really important. You need to have the baby upright. Otherwise, they drift off to sleep. If you have them upright, then they're alert, at least enough for the duration of the study. And the measure was looking time. This is a preferential looking study. So, after 20 seconds, they're there. How long do babies stay looking at the mother? And it turns out newborn babies look significantly longer at the face of the mother than the face of a stranger. So, interestingly here, it's not what we might call a novelty preference. Baby is actively selecting mum's face and discriminating her, looking longer at her compared to the face of a stranger. Now, One possible explanation is that babies are picking up on some odour, on smell. Maybe the smell of their breast milk. And we know from quite a number of studies now, babies within about 6 days are sensitive to the smell of their mother's own milk. If you give mums, nursing mums, breast pads, and then you hold them on either side of a baby, by about 6 days, babies will turn significantly more in the direction of the breast pad that came from their own mum compared to the breast pad from a stranger. And they're detecting the special smell of mother's own milk. Obviously, that's a strong indication for feeding, helps the baby turn in the right direction when breastfeeding is occurring. But that obviously could be an explanation for this result here. Maybe they were just smelling mum and looking in that direction. So how do you test for that? Very simple. First of all, reran the study, but before testing the babies, he sprayed the whole room very heavily with air pressure. So that would mask any clue that could possibly come from mum's own smell. They reran the study and got exactly the same results. Cannot be due to babies detecting mum's smell. It's clearly based on visual information processing, and it's strong evidence for very rapid visual learning within the first few days of life of a very significant stimulus. So babies are born tuned in to looking for faces, they track their movements, and they begin to learn the characteristics in this case of mums. Now before we move on, let me just make one comment. The result has been replicated, shows a familiarity preference. Babies look longer at mum's face. Now obviously there are reasons for that. One explanation which could fit with what we know about how babies learn and pick up on visual information comes from evidence, summarized on this slide, that when infants have not completely habituated, that is, when their learning is still incomplete, when they've only had a little exposure to the stimulus and there's still more to learn, if you give them a novelty preference test at that point, not me, that's better. If you give a preference test at that point, they look longer at the familiar stimulus, not the novel stimulus. Let me just take you through this little study here. This is a colleague of mine in New York, Susan Rose, and this study, again, is replicated in many different studies, this time with 6-month-olds, and these babies were familiarized with simple geometric shapes for different periods of time. 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds. So the exposure to familiarization is getting longer and longer. So after 5 seconds, stimulus is taken away and they're given a preference test. Which of the novel or familiar do they look at longer? It turns out, with just a very brief exposure, it's the familiar stimulus. If we measure the percent of fixation time on the novel, it's actually less than 50%. Here, it's almost 40% of the time. Obviously, they're looking more at the familiarized stimulus. This is a familiarity preference. So with just a brief exposure, with incomplete learning, babies show an interest in the familiar. With more exposure, with more learning, that preference becomes random. They don't show a significant preference of one over the other. And finally, when they've had a sufficient amount of time to learn the properties and features of the object, 15 seconds, then we get our normal novelty preference. So if you go back to Crystal's work with mothers, his finding fits very well with this observation. What we see, I think, in Crystal's study, are babies whose learning is very incomplete. They're only, 6 days old or so. They've only had a short time to observe the face. And there's still a lot more learning to take place. There's a lot of learning space that is unknown to them. They haven't been able to process that information. So initially, they show a significant preference. Over time, paired with a stranger, babies of 3-4 months will clearly look longer at the stranger because they recognize them as very familiar. So that's the explanation, I think, for that result. And we're going to see another study tomorrow where you get the same kind of effect. So keep that in mind. Now what about clear evidence that the visual cortex is consumption in newborn babies. Another study by Alan Slater, who pioneered this use of infant control procedures with newborn infants, provides evidence that newborns can detect the orientation of stimuli. Now, if you can tell the difference between the orientation of these stripes, the diagonals, and distinguish this orientation from this one, you can only do that if you've got a visual cortex which is functioning and has the appropriate cells to make this binary discrimination. And the evidence you've got from this habituation preference study shows me clearly that babies can recognize the familiar orientation and will look longer at one that's new. So, for example, the infants were familiarized to this circular stimulus here with these stripes in this particular orientation, infant control procedure, until they've habituated, so we know the learning is complete. And then they get the preference test, and they're shown a stimulus in the same orientation paired with one in a novel orientation. Okay? And the results show absolutely clearly that newborn infants 3 days old would look longer at the novel orientation. They recognize the familiar orientation look longer at the novel one. In fact, the stimuli that Slater used were designed in a very careful way to rule out a simple explanation. Remember those scanning studies, particularly with newborn babies. You recall where their eyes move as they fixate stimuli. And very frequently, newborns will find the contour and just fixate on it. They won't scan extensively, they just look at one single feature. Now suppose that was going on in this study here. Suppose the baby looks at this contour here, it's black and white in this position. Okay? You then, when they've habituated, give them a preference test, and they look back here, and they recognize that same feature, they look here, and they don't see it. Because here they're looking at black, and here they're looking at white. So, this is novel, this is familiar. They could show a lot of preference, but it needn't be due to detection or processing of orientation. And we can't ask the baby, obviously, they don't have language. We have to go by their preferences. So we have to be very careful in the way that we design these studies. This is what Slater did to rule out that explanation. Instead of showing the exactly the same stimulus they've been familiarized with, he showed them this one here. Now notice the orientation of the stripes is exactly the same, but where there was white here, it's black, and where there was black, it's now white. So now, a baby who isn't scanning extensively, who focuses on this black area, and looking at this, it's going to see white, and that'll be normal. So they really shouldn't show any preference at all. That's the way they're processing the information, because both of these stimuli would look normal. That wasn't the result. They looked less at the orientation, longer at the new orientation, and we've got very good evidence here. It's not based on a very simple discrimination factor. That's why it's based on processing of orientation. Now, as we move up to older ages, we find that infants can process more sophisticated information, extract the final quite a detail, and again, using these techniques of categorization and preference testing, we can demonstrate the sorts of abilities as they develop. And here's a very nice example from Paul Quinn. Shows that by the age of 3 months, babies are beginning to form perceptual categories. So they're beginning to notice not just differences, not just paying attention to novelty, but they're beginning to notice similarities as well. They can group different stimuli into larger groups and treat them as though they were equivalent, even though on the surface they look very different. So here's one category we tested in this study. It's cats versus dogs. So the idea is you familiarize the infant with a sequence of stimuli, each one showing a different cat. Each one is different. Okay? Different colors, different shapes, different posture. Some are big, hairy things, some are rather sleek, the furry one. God knows what happened to that one. It's tame. I've seen a few like that. But the important thing in this study is each stimulus is novel. Each one is different. Shows a different cat. Okay? But if you looked at them, you'd immediately pick up on the fact that they're all displaying the same species. There is a common basis. Now, is there any evidence that babies are beginning to notice not just differences, but similarities? We can test for that in a very simple way. We can give them a preference test in which we show them two pictures, one from the original category. Category, get it? Alright, good. And the other one from dogs. Okay, so we've got a cat and a dog. Now, here's an interesting point. Think about this. All of these are normal. Each one is new, changing. And when we get the preference test, we are showing a pair of novel stimuli. Okay? At one level. But of course, at a deeper level, this is in the same category as the originals, and this is different. Well, it turns out that after 3 months, when you carry out this test, you get a highly significant preference for the new category. Infants will look longer at the dog than they will at the cat. It's picking up on some of the common features and grouping them together. So even though both of these are novel stimuli, this is more normal than this one. So that's a very impressive result. So babies start learning the moment they're born, and by 3 months they're beginning to make a lot of sense of their surroundings. Their experience is not chaotic and jumping. Can we say anything about how we're doing it? Well, we can actually use the same technique. Probe a little deeper to see what information is being processed. Second experiment with the miners carried out. And what they did was to familiarize the infants with the cat stimuli and then the preference test. They presented faces only. Remember, babies are very interested in faces, and so cat faces may be the clue to this. So they compared the cat face to the dog face, or they blacked out the faces and just left everything else there, the body, to see if they were focusing on other information. And the results, again, come out very clearly. When infants can see the face only, we get a highly significant novelty preference. They look longer at the dog compared to the cat. It's the face, the head they recognize. They recognize the cat face and they look longer at the dog face. When it's body only, there's no preference at all. It's almost 50% random. They don't show any preference for dog body compared to cat body. So they're not seeing any differences yet in the bodies of the animals. It's the faces, the heads that they're focusing on and using that to pick up all the information. So I think you'll agree, this is a very simple technique. Baby just sits there, watches, and the observer records the amount of time you spend looking. But by carefully designing the materials, the stimuli, and controlling for low-level explanations, you can begin to build up a very detailed picture of the sophisticated information that young infants are able to process. Finally, just to give a little flavor of how it's developed, how rapidly faces are interesting to infants, and by 5 to 7 months, babies are recognizing familiar faces around them and much more interested in novel faces. But we can still demonstrate these increasing abilities to categorize stimuli and to make finer and finer discriminations. These faces here, they come from a very famous study, a long time ago, exploring adults' recognition and learning of faces. And in fact, these are all faces of Texan farmers. And they do look like Texan farmers, don't they? These shown here are different individuals, but when adults rated the whole set, about 150 faces in the set, these two were identified as being most similar. And they certainly do share a lot of features in common. These, on the other hand, were identified as most dissimilar. These are about as different as you could probably get. So, what if you familiarize infants we say one of these sutras, habituate them, and then give them a preference test. Which of these two pairs can they discriminate? And it turns out there is a quite rapid improvement. At eight or seven months, babies readily discriminate the easy pair, the greatest, and they also discriminate the more difficult pair. But a couple of months earlier, 5 months, they could only discriminate this pair here, the easy pair, which is very clear. This pair, which share a lot of features in common, 5 months cannot tell apart. So from their eyes, it was one in the preference test, they look equally, 50% at both of them. They show no evidence of any recognition whatsoever. But within 2 months, we've got very rapid development, ability to process subtle, more and more subtle information about the structure of faces, the features. We see rapid improvement here, which is easily revealed by the very simple techniques. So, I'm arguing that babies are clearly processing information. That information gets more and more detailed as they get older. They can form categories, they can group together, stimuli along the surface are different, and they can make fine distinctions at the same time. It's a lot of information that they're coding and storing in memory. There are several very clear features with evidence that the babies are processing information. And obviously, the first thing looked at here is that babies who are habituated should show a clear novelty preference. They have to be habituated. The learning has to be complete. So they're no longer finding anything interesting to hold their attention to. They've reached that criteria. Otherwise, you may get a familiarity preference if learning is complete, as I explained earlier. So that's the first piece of evidence. We get a clear novelty preference. Evidence that information has been stored in memory. Also, if information is being processed, babies, like you and I, ought to find it more difficult to process stimuli that are more complex. So simple stimuli should be processed easily and quickly because they contain less information. More complex stimuli should take longer. So we could look at the habituation rate and see if we can get evidence for these differences in processing linked to habituation linked to the complexity of stimuli. Thirdly, as infants develop, as they get more mature, their visual system begins to develop and get better control of their attention, we ought to see an improvement of speeding up in processing time. So more mature infants should be able to process information faster than younger infants. You should see the habituation times getting different and quicker. So again, we've got another source of evidence that infants really are processing information. And finally, related to this third point, babies who are at risk for some developmental problem later on, who have some kind of damage, maybe some neurological effect. For example, babies born with preterm, very low birth weight, have a number of problems, which are well documented. We ought to see that their processing will be impaired and they should be slower to habituate compared to matched children without the same kinds of problems. So we can use all those pieces of evidence to demonstrate that babies are processing information, it's not simply falling asleep or getting fed up the whole procedure. There is something important going on. This is an old, very clear study that demonstrates that habituation rate is linked to complexity of stimulus. All the textbooks, I think, it's choice of your room as well. A study carried out by Karen, husband and wife, parapsychologists. And what we see here are different curves of habituation. This is where the slopes are dropping off here. To different kinds of stimuli. These are checkerboard stimuli. This is the simplest. 2x2, looking very square. Not a lot of detail, not a lot of contour, not much information process. And these are increasingly more detailed checkerboards. 12x12 squares, 24x24. You see here, that what's happening here, these first trials, the babies are just getting shown a series of stimuli, normal stimulus on each trial. Then they get a checkpoint here on where that child is, 3 or 4, and then it's repeated across this next block of trials. And you can see the rate of decrease of habituation is greater than the simplest stimulus. So babies are processing that information very fast and losing interest very quickly. For the more complex stimulus, the 12 by 12, there's a decrease, significant decrease, but it's slower. So by the time the stimuli are taken away, that learning is still incomplete. They haven't fully habituated. And the 24 by 24 again shows a significant decrease, but slower still. So the rate of decrease is related to the amount of information that the babies have to process. The more information, the slower the rate of decline. These children process all the information that they can. Yes? Yeah. Sorry, I didn't explain that. There's a question about what's going on here. Let me take you through. These simply here, each trial, are normal until this one, when they get a checkerboard, and then it's repeated. Okay? Same one. Then they get novel stimuli here, so they come back up again. Now each child has a novel stimulus, and then here they're getting one of these checkerboards again, the one they've seen. So even though they've had three trials of novel stimuli, when they get the stimulus they've seen before, they recognize it, and time goes down. And look, it goes down more than it does for the 12 by 12, and more again than it does for the 24 by 24. So we've got evidence that they're retaining information in this short interval. They're learning about the stimuli, and they're recognizing them, but the time they spend looking is linked to the amount of information they can process all that information. Because, okay, you can see all that's about. This next point. As babies get older and more mature, as their central nervous system develops, then you expect them to get faster and more efficient at processing information. And there's very good evidence of that takes place. This is rather a complex set of data. Let me just take you through. It comes to work by Mark Hornsey, who was actually on sabbatical working in Paris at the time he did this study. And what they did was, they took a large group of babies and they tested them on maturation stimuli at 3 months. They measured how long it took to reach the criteria in the control procedure. And then they brought them back again and tested them at 5 months. So they used two different stimuli, and if the baby gets one at 3 months, it gets the other one at 5 months. It's not seeing the same thing twice. Okay? And here, this straight line here, which is the important thing. So effectively, the groups are getting habituated to the same stimuli. But you'll notice the total time it takes them, total looking time, to reach that criterion of habituation drops quite dramatically across that 2 month interval. So at 3 months, it's around, what's that, just below 150 seconds, 2.5 minutes. By 5 months, it's down to about 80, 90 seconds. A really substantial decrease. So 2 months development, a quite substantial drop in the time it takes these infants to habituate. They're getting faster at processing the information. So that's the group data here. But what we've got here are individual curves for three different infants, and these infants were tested on a weekly basis. So they were presented with a whole pool of stimuli, they were presented with stimuli that looked equally interesting to babies once a week, and their habituation times are measured. And what you can see is generally long looking times at the earliest stages and then steady decrease as they're getting older and older, statistically, the group data. But let me just draw your attention to a couple of interesting things here. You'll notice that at the youngest ages, there are some very long looking times. What's that? 300 and 60 seconds. Yeah? 6 minutes. These sort of simple geometric vicinity. This is a baby who is looking and looking for 6 minutes. The poor experiment, his hand is going blue because he's got a finger on the button of the computer logging the looking time. That's a massive time. This one is also pretty long. Notice what happens about a week later. Falls away. It drops off very rapidly. So from very long looking times, suddenly decreases very quickly, very sharply. Now that is characteristic around this age. Between 2 and 3 months, we often find babies occurring extremely long looking times. And in fact, one of the reasons is that we think it reflects not just the time it takes to process information, but also problems in controlling eye movement and gaze. Because the task of the child is not only to pay attention, look at the stimulus, take in the information, but once that information has been processed, is to stop looking and look away at something else. And that is a problem that babies around 2 and 2.5 months have. They find it very difficult to disengage their attention and look away somewhere else. In fact, a colleague of mine, Bruce Hood, called this sticky fixation. And you can demonstrate it in a very funny way. If you've got a baby sitting on your lap and you're on an office chair, you know, which rotates, you get a 2.5-month-old to stare at the stimulus on the screen, and then you turn the chair like this. Baby's eyes are locked on the stimulus, okay? And they just, you know, they're stuck to it, they're glued, and they can't look away. And very often, infants at this age have finished processing the information, they want to look away, but they simply cannot inhibit their attention. And the only way we get out of this situation is to start to cry, show distress, and have something physically pick them up and remove them. So that, I think, is one of the reasons for these very long looking times which suddenly disappear when the brain systems that can improve control, the ability to switch off attention as well as again, begin to develop the arousal. Well, but you can see good evidence there of improvement in terms of speed processing. Second piece of evidence showing changes in speed, and also evidence that at-risk infants are poorer than habituated and take longer to process information comes from a very nice study by Susan Rose again in New York, and she's refined the original FANT technique to produce what she calls the continuous familiarization paradigm. The idea here is you present a pair of stimuli for a series of trials, 10 seconds each trial. Initially, pictures are new, both stimuli haven't been seen before by the baby. Baby looks, you measure the looking time on each of the stimuli, 10 seconds is up, the pair disappears, the next pair is presented, and you'll notice one of the stimuli is always constant. It doesn't change. It always appears. The position varies randomly, but it's always present. The other one is always new. So one is familiar and one is new. And the question is, how long does it take babies to spot the stimulus that's familiar? How many trials do they need to look significantly longer at the novel compared to the familiar? So we can measure the number of trials it takes them. Maximum, I think, is about 36 in this test. And we can also measure the amount of time they spend looking. The criteria is 4 out of 5 trials, in a sequence of 5 trials, if 4 of them show a novelty preference greater than 55%, then the baby has detected the familiar and is looking longer than the novel. So that's a really nice, fast-paced technique. Babies like it because there's a lot of change, a lot of variety. And if you measure the number of trials to reach that criterion of recognizing the repeated familiar stimulus, and look at the number of trials at different ages, you find, as you can see here, the number of trials drops off quite substantially. So between 5 and 12 months, there's a considerable speeding up in the time it takes babies to process information and recognize the familiar stimulus. Now, the other interesting thing about the study is that So the road tested two groups. One was a group of infants who were preterm, but low growth rate, less than 1,750 grams. And they were compared with a matched group of normal full-term infants. And you can see that at each age, the preterm infants are slower than the term infants. It's there at 5 months, that infant is there at 7 months, it's still there at 12 months of age. At each age, they are taking longer to process information, substantially longer. They are developing, you can see the decrease in time, they're speeding up, but they're lagging behind the normal full-term infants. So striking evidence in this is very nice elegant technique that maybe it's getting faster as they become mature, but risk factors such as prematurity interfere with the ability to process visual information. The other thing is, we've discovered in the last 20 years or so that there are striking differences between babies. Some babies are reliably, consistently faster at processing information than others. So you can repeatedly test them, maybe over several weeks, to a variety of stimuli, and you will find some infants will reach that habituation criteria sooner after shorter looking time than other infants. So it's not just a difference on the day. It's not just that you've got, you know, one baby feeling a grumpy and takes longer. These are stable individual differences in the rate at which information gets processed. So, enough so that we can identify whether learners are short or long lookers. Some babies are short lookers, habituate quickly, and they remain short lookers. Others are long lookers, in terms of the time it takes. We know, as we've seen already, that habituation is slower in infants at risk for developing the problems. A whole range of risk factors have been explored, not just prematurity, but infants with Down syndrome, mothers who've been taking or consuming large amounts of alcohol during pregnancy. Alcohol has a quite severe, large amounts of alcohol, not modest amounts, but large amounts, have a severe impact on the ability of babies to process information. Mothers addicted to heroin, that has a pretty profound effect. And also, mothers who are living in areas with high industrial pollutants, such as PCBs. PCBs can affect the ability of infants to process visual information. But one of the most striking findings in the last 20 years has been evidence coming from longitudinal studies that these differences in the ability to process information are related to childhood IQ. In other words, we see differences in speed, efficiency of processing information in infancy, and these differences appear to persist throughout the world. Early efforts to find a relation between cognitive development in infancy and childhood IQ were singularly unsuccessful. Most of the studies have looked at infant scores on general tests of development, like the baby scales. These are the baby scales where you administer a whole range of tests, mostly perceptual motor tests, and then you summarize the results and you standardize the score so that 100 would be a normal average score, given the age of the baby, and above 100 would be somewhat accelerated development, and below 100 would be somewhat delayed development. But study after study after study found that scores obtained from these general tests of development showed no correlation whatsoever with later measures of IQ in childhood. So much so that researchers in the early 1980s were saying there's no point in carrying on with these studies. There simply isn't any link between cognitive differences that we can measure with these sorts of tests in infancy and later IQ. Now, it's since emerged that these tests are not very effective and sensitive measures of cognitive abilities. They're not really picking up on crucial differences that will affect later development. And it's since emerged that measures of processing ability, such as visual habituation, are far better predictors. So, for example, here are three studies. There are lots of studies now. There's more than 40 of them. enough that we can carry out mesh analysis. Study by Mark Ornstein. The measure taken in 4 months was the total time looking at the stimulus until habituation criterion is reached. As you know, there are wide differences across babies. And on a retest using the Wechsler IQ scale at 4 years of age, significant correlation is obtained, -0.54. Here, Rosa tells actually, Susan Rosenberg North, polygram status. The range is 2 to 7 months of age, total looking time, Wechsler IQ at 4 years, significant correlation of -0.63. And here's a very interesting study, Mary Sigmund, working in California, total looking time in newborns. The latest report from this group has been a follow-up at 18 years of age and a significant, smaller, but significant correlation between looking time and newborns and IQ at 18 years of age. A very, very impressive result. Why a negative IQ?
What's going down? What's going up?
Yeah. Good, great. It means there's a significant relationship. It means faster, shorter looking times are related to higher IQ scores. Okay? So babies who are short-looking, babies who can process information quickly, who look away quickly, are those children who tend to have higher IQ scores in later childhood. Slow processors who take longer tend to have lower IQ scores. Now, it's not a perfect predictor. In fact, we're concerned that overall there might be publication pressure so that people only report results where you get positive, significant results. And the estimate of the average effect was around -0.25. It's pretty small. It's there. It's telling us that there are differences. We can measure the infancy, which emerge later in childhood. That's not big enough to really use the situation as a screening instrument to identify children at risk later on. How can we explain these results? There are two main hypotheses. I'll talk about these two again when we come to my practical, because we're going to be looking at some data related to this. One is the speed of processing hypothesis. It's a very simple idea. The short lookers are faster at processing information. They're simply faster at encoding information, storing it in memory, streaming it. Everything's going at a faster rate. Faster processors require more new information, and they may learn more rapidly. If this is a stable difference throughout childhood, at the time they reach age 4 or 7 or 18, given IQ test, their knowledge base is greater. They've simply been living life at a faster rate, and so they have learnt quicker. And that could be the simple explanation basis of this relationship. We have a second explanation, although we don't have very much evidence to support it, but it is a possibility. Remember I talked about the problems two-year-olds have in disengaging from stimuli. It could be shorter lookers have better control over their attention. They can disengage attention better and faster. So that once they process the information, they look away and look for something new. Whereas the long lookers have poorer control and they carry on staring at stimulus and in fact engage in what we call blank looking. They're not processing anymore, but they're simply struggling to shift their eyes and look away at something new. And it can well be that children with better disengagement are exposing themselves to more and more novel information, and through that method are learning more. So we've got these two alternative hypotheses. At the moment, the evidence favours the speed hypothesis, but disengagement is also a possibility. Finally, just a couple of comments about my own research and what other basis for the differences in habituation and speed processing abilities. And they have to do with omega-3 fats, long-chain polyunsaturated fats, which are important building blocks in the brain. What they do is affect communication signaling between brain cells. And if you don't get the right sorts of fats, LCD, early in development, then this can interfere with brain development and brain function. Babies are breastfed will receive, there are two important ones. One is remember the three fat, DHA, in fact we think this is the key fat for promoting improved processing in infants. Another is the omega 6 fat, is known as AA, arachidonic acid. DHA is hexylic acid. Lactose contains both of these LCPs, so babies who breastfed will get a supply of these LCPs. The problem is for infants who are fed formula, because young infants cannot produce sufficient amounts of these LCPs on their own. They require these LCPs in their milk. And so, as a result of some of our research of other colleagues, all manufacturers now add these LCPs to infant formula. Here are a couple of results that we've obtained. Here's one study, two groups. One group fed a formula with added LCPs, including DHA, omega 3, and the other groups fed a standard formula, exactly the same, but no LCPs. The vitrification assessment at 3 months of age, total looking time, LCP group had shorter looking time compared to the control group. Which is better? Shorter looking, longer looking? Which is linked to higher IQ, later childhood? Clearly, getting LCP is important because it improves the efficiency of processing information. And also, you get LCPs from your mum during pregnancy. So here's a study we completed where we measured levels of DHA, the omega 3 fat, in mother's blood during pregnancy, and we found a correlation with looking times in mum's infants at 4 months of age. So mums with higher levels of DHA had babies with shorter looking times. Not variation there, but significant relationship. Same exact same result from colleagues of ours working in Kansas City. Mothers with high DHA as babies with shorter looking times compared to mothers with low DHA or 6 months of age. So, striking results here. Summary, if you want any practical advice, if when the time comes, you're going to get pregnant, you have a baby, then include in your diet as much omega 3 fat, especially DHA, as you possibly can, particularly during pregnancy. Once you buy some of this, to the good. Summary of everything I've covered, if you remember all of that. Tomorrow, we're going to start looking at the development of early cognitive abilities, particularly the object concept.